This isn't an acid flashback. It's the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Kane 107.5.
Very good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome to Kane Radio's Chip Shot. Steady Slimin with you here in the air chair. Kane Radio, AM 1240 and the new 107.5 FM. Hope you tuned in to either channel. This is the month, right? Comes in like a line, goes out like a lamb. We in March. And it certainly is windy outside. Hope for good weather to come this month, as we've struggled enough in the month of February, and hope for sure the coronavirus is subdued this year and very soon as well. Nonetheless, we'll be talking golf this month. In fact, we're going to be talking golf this day. If you want to jump on board, 367-1240 is the number. Certainly want to thank our sponsors, our two big sponsors, our title sponsors, as I like to say, Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Lafayette. So they moved from New Iberia, but rather they moved their office out of New Iberia. But don't fret, we can still get Coke products throughout the parish. Thanks to Mr. Lee Tatford for sponsoring Chip Shots, along with a lot of other sporting events here at Kane Radio. Basketball is coming up, I think, this week. I don't see a note on the board here. Let's see. I know New Iberian Westgate's playing. And then Tony will be doing Catholic High's game against Newman, I believe, on Friday. So all those games coming up on Kane Radio. Sponsored by Coca-Cola, among others. Chip Shots also wants to thank GolfBalls.com right there in Lafayette on Arnold Boulevard. As we always say, you can get everything you want in golf there. Anything you possibly want for a golfer, if you have a loved one who's a golfer in your family. Their big showroom has everything possible that a golfer could want. You don't have to order it. You can get it there right away. And also they have that new simulator. The big screen there where you can hit and try out golf clubs. Of course, they have all the demonstrator clubs available there for you to try out. Golfballs.com, Arnold Boulevard right there in Lafayette. And we thank both of those sponsors for supporting Chip Shots. And of course, I also want to thank our local golf clubs. As I always say, without them, we wouldn't have any local golf news. So we thank Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, and Sugar Oaks. We also want to thank Bellevue, the nine-hole course in Franklin that jumped on board and became one of the courses we play, excuse me, in our Pro-Am rotation. So why not give them a few plugs as well? I've been announcing this, and I'm going to have to trash it because it's old news, but they have a Ryder Cup-style match with their sister golf course, St. Mary's, and that was couple of 3 weeks ago. Bellevue won 12.5 to 5.5, and now they lead the series 4-3. It's kind of fun, though, to have a sister golf, a nine-hole golf course. They're probably only two nine-hole golf courses left in the state of Louisiana. In the feature match, Ty Burdett, the owner of the golf course, and Asa Tibbs, a former CHS golfer, beat out Barry Bolliner and Jason Boban, 5-4. Then also at Bellevue, their latest dogfight, which is usually played on the first Saturday of the month, so they'll be doing that this coming Saturday. J.D. Mayfield was +5. He edged out Todd Patton and Bobby McDonald. They were +4. Franklin High had a baseball tournament scheduled during that ice week we had, and February 20th, and it's going to get rescheduled. Hadn't gotten word on that yet. I'm sure Ty will get me some information if I ask him to. And then Eagle Ridge, there in Cade, I didn't have the chance to get down there today. But their old news from last week is that they have 52 members in their hole-in-one pool, and now they're charging their members $5 a month if they want to be in the pool so that they don't have to put up each time they play, which is a good thing. Congratulations again to Glenn Bienvenu. He made the last hole-in-one last month, winning $2,400 on number three. He hit a wedge 119 yards into the hole. Also at Eagle Ridge, they're looking for help in their pro shop. So if you know someone who is young and energetic and wants to get into the golf business, that's the place to go. Gary Kidd, the owner, is looking for some help there, especially with the spring upon us. In the daylight savings time, Jeff told me that it'll happen not this Sunday, but next, second Sunday of March. So all golfers look forward to that as you get that extra couple of hours at the end of the day, catch nine holes after work. It's really a golfer's dream. Okay, at Eagle Ridge was our last pro-am at 135 players, which is, I got to believe it's a record for Eagle Ridge. In fact, I know it is. And thanks to Dawn DeCluitt and her idea, along with her husband Alex, of giving you multiple days to play during the week. Like this week, the pro-am is going to be at Cane Row. We're in the first week of March, so you can play Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday this week. And it looks like the weather's going to be iffy on Tuesday, tomorrow, and maybe even Wednesday. So golfers are making plans maybe to play Thursday. But if the weather breaks, you can play either Tuesday or Wednesday. So it's a good deal at any rate. And that idea was welcomed, and it's increased our numbers. And by the way, if you want to play at Cane Row, their number is 367-0863. Call their pro shop and make a tee time. But back to Eagle Ridge in our last pro-am, only 26% of the field, 35 players, made or exceeded their points. Tough day then, right? The low A player was Kempton Collins, plus three. The low B player, Mark Ami, at zero, even points. The low C player, Linda Savoy, plus four. And the low D player, Alvin Bergeron, plus five. Six new players were added last month, so that tells us that we're increasing our numbers. And then on the team side, first place went to Corey Hulin, Louis DeVilliers, Paul Walters, and Bert Baudouin, winning $161. Big payouts now that we have more players. They were plus one. And once again, this $161 is redeemable at golfballs.com. And what a great blessing there. You get choice of a lot of equipment, as well as soft goods and anything a golfer could want, as I mentioned early on. Second place, Randy McDaniels, Tom Carroll, Paul LaDuceur, and Mark Landry. $116, they were even on their points. Third place went to Jason Smith, Brent Collada, Norris Thibodeau, and Bobby Romero. Minus one, they won $65. The low individual players won $30 each. Doug Beard was low pro with plus one. And Cane Row is going to host our next pro-am. So then next up on the schedule here, if you're a member at Cane Row, you get some special privileges. And they had a membership meeting last Thursday, and from what Coach Brent Endes told me, it went real well. they're making so many improvements to the golf course and facilities there that it takes a lot of money to keep the place up. And, you know, players and members and people who play golf, especially here in Acadiana, don't really appreciate the cost of what it takes to get a golf course in playable shape where people aren't complaining about this, that, and the other, even though they'll complain. But that's a whole other story we could talk about for a while. But they're going up on their dues from what I understand, but it's been maybe 20 years since they've gone up on anything over there. So they need to, you know, they need to keep up with the times and keep the golf, get the golf course back to where it was 20 years ago, for one thing. So kudos to Hugh Andre for doing that and for the membership sticking behind him. So if you're a member there, you're able to book your tee times. This is a privilege or a perk 1 week in advance, online, or in person, or the old-fashioned way, on the phone. And they have a great website where you can get their monthly calendar, tournaments, activities, all kind of special events. You know, sometimes they'll have parties or things. Not so much now with the COVID, but any kind of special events they might be having. They even have their menu with their specials and a lot more. And then if you're a member, you get a discount on their merchandise. And I'm telling you, they have one of the best stocked pro shops in our area. Not only with the staples like balls, gloves, tees, and stuff, but the soft goods, shirts, shorts, hats, caps, visors. And I was in there. Last time I was in there, I was browsing through, waiting to talk to Johnny or Sid, one of them, I can't remember which, who works behind the counter there. And I was perusing through their Greg Norman golf shirts. They're only $50. And they are gorgeous golf shirts. Well, if you remember, 20% off of $50. Wow, not bad, huh? $40. Recent hole-in-ones at Cane Row, Tony Touchette, Mike Wilcox, and Caleb Arsenault all made hole-in-ones in the last couple of months. I love hole-in-ones, so I kind of like special shots, so I like to promote them. And then they started up nine-hole scrambles on Sunday. Four-person scramble, $25 per player, 2 p.m. shotgun start. Cash prizes, that's the big asterisk there by that. And then in their pro shop, they have the LGA, Louisiana Golf Association Handicap System. Cane Row's a member of the Louisiana Golf Association, and they provide handicap services for all their member clubs. And Cane Row's one. And if you go into the pro shop, they have a little kiosk, like a little credit card machine there where you post your score, and it keeps track of your scores and your handicap as well. Nice advantage there for members who like to keep up with their handicap. And then they've been opening on Mondays, and I'm sure they're going to continue to do that now that the springtime is here. Opening up at 11:30, that gives the maintenance crew some time to get their work done before the golfers get out on the course, and it allows them to do all the stuff they need to do, like spraying or watering or whatever, and not interrupt the players. And then Cane Row hosted one of the high school golf tournaments, which started up right after the ice storm. They had their first match. Ascension Episcopal School won the match. It was a tri-match. St. Thomas More, Ascension shot 151. St. Thomas More second, shooting 170. And individually, Cale Fontenot shot even par 36, along with his teammate, Eli Artigo, shooting 38. To finish third, Jude Bork with St. Thomas More shot 37 and was second. And so Eli is going, he's a signee with the Raging Cajuns, and he'll be a freshman next year. He ought to bring along with him his former high school player, K.O. Fontenot there, shooting 36, pretty good score. Then down at Sugar Oaks, their membership dues are now due and payable, all the way up to March 31st. Cost is $20 per year if you want to be a member of the MGA at Sugar Oaks. And right after that, in April, I think they have a crawfish ball along with a tournament, and that'll pay you $20 right there. So a lot of people who are interested in that need to join now. And their MGA officers for this year, president is Mark Ami, vice president Robert Burton, Secretary Tam Rosemont, treasurer is Jamie Simino, nice young lady who works the pro shop there. And then on the board are Ron Finley and Chris Bayard. If you're looking for a discount or a bargain golf right here in South Louisiana, Sugar Oaks is the place to go. Their greens are perfect. Last time I was out there, it's been a while, but the last time I was out there, I was astounded at how pretty their greens are. It only costs like $22, the cheapest, to like $36 on the weekends to play golf at Sugar Oaks. And then thanks to Bard Booty, the CEO and director of the Gator Golf Club, which stems out of Sugar Oaks. They had their first tournament of the year for the Gator Golf Club. And it was played at the Wetlands right there in Lafayette last Saturday, February 27th. It was a windy day from what Boyd told me, and I appreciate him bringing me this. And in a timely fashion as well. So let's see. First flight, C.J. Woodley was the winner, plus five. Second flight went to Boyd's son, Coy Booty. He was even on his points. Senior flight, Ted Sellers, plus seven. Their points carry over from last year as they've started a new year. They had 27 players play in this event, but they have 36 players in all in their association, and they also have a waiting list. Their next tournament is scheduled for Saturday, March 13th at Atchafalaya right there in Patterson with an 8:30 shotgun start. Other golf courses, they haven't completed their schedule, but Bard was telling me they have a great lineup of courses already scheduled. Tamaka Trails, Coshatty Pines, the National in Westlake, La Tours in Matthews, Oak Wing in Alexandria, and, of course, the Bluffs, one of the premier golf courses in the state right there in St. Francisville. You don't have to be a member of Sugar Oaks to join the Giddy Golf Club, so you might want to contact Boyd Booty. All right, moving to college golf, our local golf teams. LSU women's third-ranked LSU women's golf team, third-ranked in the nation. They took second place at the Icon Invitational. The Tigers finished a three-round score of 19 under par, the fourth-best team score in school history. LSU had three players finish in the top 10, led by Latana Stone, fifth, and Ingrid Lindblad, seventh, and Carla Mullett for 10th. Of course, Lindblad is one of the three players up for the Annika Award at the end of the year, and that's for the best college golfer. She is also ranked third in amateur in the USA with a 70.8 scoring average. So today they start up their next tournament in Columbia, South Carolina, the 2021 Gamecock Invitational. They play today through Wednesday, competing against South Carolina and other teams. South Carolina is ranked second. And then the LSU men, a disappointing start for their season as they struggled on their home course, the University Club, in their home event, the LSU Invitational, ending a 10-straight win home game winning streak. That's 10 straight times they've won in their home event. They have one tournament, I think, in the spring, the LSU Invitational, and then one in the fall, the David Toms. But at any rate, the best two scores didn't come from their top five players. They came from individuals, Michael Sanders and Chris Woolen. So Chuck Winstead needs to revamp some of that, I guess, to put his best players in the tournament as they were individual performers. Tigers finished second to last, beating only Alabama. So there's some solace in that, as, of course, all of us LSU fans hate Alabama and anything we play them against. Football, basketball, I don't care. Tiddlywinks, we hate Alabama. So we beat them, and sixth-ranked Illinois has won the event, and you'll see them play if you're an avid golfer and like to spectate golf, watch golf. You can go right there to Lafayette, Louisiana Classics, coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll be played there in Illinois. We'll be playing in that, along with their coach, who is pretty famous in himself. Coach Small is an accomplished golfer in his own right. So look for Illinois if you're an avid golfer, want to go watch UL. Speaking of UL, they played in the Border Olympics, their last tournament, where 18 teams participated in Laredo, Texas. They didn't do so well either. They finished in the middle of the pack, 13th, actually, more towards the latter third of the pack. Of course, they played with their number one player out. He had an illness, Hudson Dubinsky, and it's not COVID-related, but it's a physical illness. And then they didn't have their number one freshman, who's been out for quite a while, Matt Weber. He broke his wrist playing touch football, so he'll be out for a while. But I think he's back to hitting balls, but they're going to redshirt him and keep him out till next year. Number 26-ranked Texas A&M won the tournament. They edged out number 9 Texas for second place. And like I said, the next event for the Cajuns is going to be their own home event, Louisiana Classics, Monday and Tuesday, March 15th and 16th. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, area tournaments coming up. We just said the Louisiana Classics, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. Same time on the 15th, the Chittimachi Louisiana Open, that week starts. That's a Tuesday, the 15th. And of course, the tournament is on the weekend, the Thursday, Friday, and then they make the cut. And then Saturday, the 20th and 21st at La Triomphe, the Louisiana Open will conclude. And during the same time frame, opposite field event, the Tournament Players Championship right there in Ponte Verde Beach, Sawgrass, Florida, the 11th through 14th. They'll end up when the Cajuns begin with the tournament. So a lot of golf coming up. Then after that in April, big tournaments, of course, the Masters, which usually kicks off the season for golfers, is going to be April 8th through 11th with limited number of patrons or spectators at Augusta National. And the week preceding will be the drive, chip, and putt contest on the Sunday for the kids. And then, of course, they've started up the Augusta National Women's Golf Tournament, and that's going to be played at Augusta National as well. And let's see. Then the following week will be the Zurich Classic, TPC, Louisiana, with in New Orleans. And the word I got, Sam Burns himself told us at a clinic he did for some juniors this past weekend, which I'll talk about in a minute. His partner is going to be Billy Horschel. And before I get in, well, let's get into the junior news, and I'll conclude with the PGA. So I had the opportunity to go with my son Theodore and my grandson Drew to Squire Creek this weekend, where they had a Sam Burns Invitational four ball. And Sam did a great job of doing a clinic on the Friday at about 4 o'clock. He got out there and hit balls and did a clinic for the kids. It was so wet, though. Listen to this, people. They had 6 inches of ice at Squire Creek during that ice storm. And the pro told us that he wasn't at work for 7 straight days. They couldn't get out on the roads for 7 straight days. So the golf course was wet because of that, but still in great shape, as they had tarps covering just about every. You could see tarps all over the place covering the areas where they had tender vegetation, like plants and stuff. That this is a gorgeous place. It's indescribable. But anyway, Sam Burns did a great job. He's a humble 24-year-old, and his main forte was that he had just finished third in Los Angeles when they had that, and he was leading by a whopping 5 strokes after 36 holes. He talked a lot about that, how difficult it was with that 3-hour delay for him to get up Saturday morning at 3:30 and then have to play, finish Friday's round, and then continue and complete all of Saturday's round. It's a difficult thing, but it's good to see him giving back to the kids. And his next event is going to be this week in Orlando. Then Drew did well the week before at Ellendale. He won his first tournament, Ellendale Country Club, right there in Houma. He shot 73 and edged out Hunter McCabe, who had 75. And congratulations to my other little grandson, Aiden Tatford. He finished second in his 9-year-old age group. Then in the PGA, my buddy and friend Robbie Gehringer of Oak Wing Country Club in Alexandria right there. He won the highest honor of our profession in the Gulf States, the Professional of the Year Award. And then also a little closer to home in Lafayette, congratulations to Charlie Dugas. He's been a PGA member for 50 years. That'll do it for the local stuff. I believe Boxcore, my buddy's on the phone on the other side. And, of course, we'll get back to talking about the traumatic events that happened this week on the national scene with Tiger Woods' injury. And, of course, we'll be talking about the World Golf Championship just being played. So stay tuned for all that coming up next.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Tesh Matters, 10-1, on New Iberia's home for the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane, 107.5.
Well, no bumper music this time. Kenny Loggins doesn't seem to want to play. So you just have to listen to my voice. Welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman with you here. Listening to Lee Kay do that commercial. Thoughts and prayers with Lee Kay as he's struggling with some health issues, and we hope to have him back here at Kane Radio as soon as he gets well and healthy again. We miss you, Lee. All right, so we said, we teased anyway on the other side. The big happenings this week, last Tuesday, terrible car wreck. Tiger Woods flipping his Genesis SUV and flipping over and really injuring himself in a terrible, terrible way. And let's see if that's box score to talk with me about that. Hello, you're on the air with Chip Shots.
Hey, Ted, sorry about that, man. I had to run in and go pick up some medicine.
Just talking about Tiger Woods and yeah, the big incident this week.
Well,
give me your thoughts on that.
Well, obviously, the number one thought is he's lucky to be alive. I mean, that's, and, you know, I'm sure he's as thankful as anybody, you know. We've collectively kind of watched, you know, a little spiral there and then a comeback and then now this setback again. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I would be, and I'm not, you know, you can never say never with elite athletes. I get that. But I already have my doubts about his longevity or what he could possibly do, you know, without this setback. And, just after reading like a lot of orthopedic doctors' opinions and whatnot, I mean, I just don't see him playing golf again. Now, I'll be honest, that's just my opinion. And, you know, but thank God he's alive. It was very touching to see the tributes on the PGA Tour, Teddy. And the one thing that really stood out to me is when you look at this generation of, Morikawa and Victor Hovland and those guys, that was their idol growing up, you know, and that had been like us, you know, witnessing Jack Nicklaus, or in your case, you actually saw it happen with Ben Hogan, you know.
Right.
And, but it obviously was very traumatic for a lot of those guys to see that. And so, you know, best wishes to him. I mean, it certainly looks like things are getting better, but, you know, from a physical standpoint, I think it's going to be a really, really difficult road to ever think about playing golf again.
You know, Sid over at the Kane Row said, you know, he's the tiger, right? He's the cat, and this was his ninth, nine lives of a cat. This was his ninth, you know, major surgery, if you would say. And hopefully he does have nine lives and comes back in some way, shape, or fashion. But I firmly believe in my heart that this turn of events, the fact that he was not killed, which is a miracle in itself, gives Tiger a chance, and he was softening as well, you know, to the media and to his friends and fellow competitors and stuff. But maybe this will give Tiger an opportunity to really give back to the golf world and to the world in general, all of athletics, and right. Go in a different direction versus being a competitor and player.
Yeah, because let's face it, yeah, you know, everybody's focused on you know, the leg and whatnot, but as bad as his back was, can you imagine the trauma that back took? And you know, when you get hit from behind at 10 miles an hour, your back, you know, takes a lick.
True.
So even, you know, they're not even talking about that part of it. And while he may not have to have surgery, I mean, on the back, I just, again, that's just my opinion. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, we obviously know he moves the needle tremendously for golf. I do think, you know, there's some young players now who they'll never be Tiger or they'll never be as popular or win as many, you know, majors, but can at least, you know, make the tour exciting. And
absolutely.
It was shocking. I mean, it really ranked up there when he, you know, had that thing with Elon and kind of found out about his, you know, the struggles in his personal life and then the DUI, not a DUI, whatever it was, you know, mm-hmm. fell asleep at the wheel. That was kind of a whole different thing, and yet there were a lot of experts today that I was reading about that went examine the crash site. And their opinion is that he fell asleep at the wheel. It's not to say he could have just been tired. I mean, he had just finished doing an outing the day before. He was going to do an outing the next day. You know, that was another thing. I mean, at this point, you can't be doing this for the money. You don't need the money. You know, so you know why do you, he was filming some stuff for not Golf Channel but another golf show,
right?
You know, with these like playing lessons with the pros almost. You know. You go work with kids, do that sort of thing, but you don't need to be doing this stuff right at this point in your career, man. You've got too many things.
Well, I hope this, like I said, I hope this, you know, wakes him up and not wakes him up, but, you know, gives him the opportunity for something positive to come out of this negative thing is to do something to help, like you said, the kids and the world, the golf world in general, because like he moves the needle, yeah. We all know that. And guys like Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, sure, they're going to be great star players, and you know, someday play great golf and win a lot of tournaments. But there was only one Tiger; he was world known, and people who don't even know about golf knew Tiger Woods. Some there was a, you know, some that hated him and some that loved him. But you know, it just goes to show you how many of his fellow competitors really loved him. They all, you know, they wore red across all the tours, the female tours as well as the male tours across the globe were wearing red. Even Boxcar, I saw a picture of the maintenance crew out there at the Concessions Golf Course, 20 or something of them all wearing red that day, you know, preparing the course to be played. It's just a tribute to the guy.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, if you're a Tiger fan especially, what a roller coaster of emotions, you know. You ride with this guy the last few years. I mean, again, with the high, the lows, you know, obviously, and then coming back to win the Masters and then, you know, some more lows and then, you know, some setbacks physically. And then, you know, then you see the human side of him in that father-son event with his kid, you know,
yeah.
How much fun he seemed to be having out there. And you're like hopeful that, hey, you know, maybe things are going to be good for him in the twilight of his career, and then this happens, you know. So, but again, I mean, as with all things, most of the time, it obviously could have had a much more tragic ending. I mean, he, you know, at the very worst case scenario, like you said, he'll have an opportunity to give back to the game that yeah, he's given so much too, but that is given back to him as well. You know, so he'll have that opportunity. He'll recover. He may not be the same person, but he'll survive certainly. And for that, we're thankful.
I got two quick stories to end with Tiger, if you don't mind, Joe. To show how Tiger has has changed even before this accident, and how he was, you know, becoming a little more soft and mellow. Matt Adams, the guy with the Golf Channel, said that he was interviewing Tiger, and, you know, in between a break, you have, what, 60 or 90 seconds there where there's no talk, you know, and nobody else hears you but you and the person you're interviewing. And he said Tiger was the only person he interviewed that would interact with him, telling him little things in between the dead time that, that you have, you know, when you're interviewing a star athlete, you know. So that made volumes for me, like what Tiger's becoming like. And the other one is Joe LaCava. I just read an article where, not to go long on it, too long on it, but in 2017, he told Joe LaCava, look, if you want to go get another player's bag, go ahead. And Joe said, no, I'm going to stay with you. And Tiger appreciated that so much that when he won the Masters in 2019, he texted him, thank you, buddy. I love you so much. You're like a brother to me. You know, and it's stuff like that, that makes Tiger Woods a human. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. It's changing my perception of him.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Teddy, you know how it is with a lot of athletes anyway. Some of them, the least little thing they do, they have a press conference and, you know, do. And then he may very well be one of those guys that are generous to a fault, you know, behind the scenes, you know. And there's a lot of guys like that they don't they don't want the accolades or the limelight, but they donate a lot. They help out families in need. They just do different things, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, again, golf at this point in his career, actually, it sounds odd to say, but needs to be secondary, you know. And now he has to focus on just getting well, being a father again. You know, if he does tee it up again in the future, great. If he never tees it up again, he'll still be, you know, a great champion.
No question.
There's a date. Debate will rage on, rage on in future generations, and I think it's just ludicrous to try to compare generation to generation.
You're spot on there.
There's no sport, you know, that you can do. And things just change, and
right.
And so, but yeah, I'm glad to. But you know, and kind of lost in, I guess, in the whole thing is really a kind of a brilliant victory with Colin Morikawa, and now. I think he's the only guy to have won, I may have read this wrong, but a WGC event and a major by the age of 24, and the other guy was Tiger. Yeah, the other guy was Tiger. Now, there's no way I'm predicting that kind of success for Morikawa.
No way.
Because I do think, you know, that it's a different generation, and there's a lot of good players out there, and I think in the next, you know, 20 years, if you win three or four majors, you will have had a really good career, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think there's that many good young guys who are capable of winning. It used to be, you know, I was, even at the Masters, you could basically say 20 guys had a chance to win at the beginning of the week. Maybe
right.
Less than that. And now I think as you see more and more of these guys win on tour, these younger guys, I mean, that number's going to go up a lot, and not just for the Masters, but for all these tournaments. So they don't have that fear factor. They shoot at pins. I mean, and boy, kudos to Concessions for putting on a great golf tournament. I didn't get to watch a lot of it, unfortunately, but what I read was that the superintendent had a little bit of fun with some pin placements.
Yeah.
And it goes to show you, you know, again, we get back to that thing. You don't have to have a 7,800-yard golf course to make it tough on these pros, you know, short
right.
par fours, give them fits, you know, if you set it up, you know, the right way. And
it's cool the way that golf course got built. You know, Tony Jacklin and Jack Nicklaus built it, and the reason they called it Concession was back in 1979 when they had the Ryder Cup. Both of those guys were captains, and Tony Jacklin conceded a putt to Jack Nicklaus, three or four or five footer, a substantial putt. That made the match dead even, and that's the way they wanted it to end, even, you know. So it's kind of a good story there.
I thought Nicklaus had conceded.
It might be. You might be right. It might be the other way. Nicklaus conceded to Jacklin. But at any rate, they both join together to design and build this course, which is extra special.
That's why we do that every Saturday with good. I mean, it's not.
That's how we used to do it.
It's in the spirit of the game, right?
Sure.
But some good golf, you know, played, and heck, I'm trying to remember who won in Puerto Rico, but that was another pretty good story.
Oh, no, Puerto Rico was Brandon Grace.
Yeah, Brandon Grace.
Yeah, and that was an awesome story as well. But let's finish up. I got a few other thoughts on the WGC tournament there at the concessions. Brooks Koepka, Victor Hovland, and Billy Horschel finished second, tied for second. They had a star-studded field there, man. I'm telling you, and the leaderboard showed it. And then they had Rory and Webb Simpson, Patrick Reed, all of them finished high up in the rankings there. But Tony Finau, he broke his record. He had a streak of 38 straight top tens. Poor guy finished 11th, one shot out of 10. I just had to throw that in.
Yeah, and I'm sure Victor Hovland has to be kicking himself because, I mean, he kind of made a quadruple bogey, I think, on Friday or Saturday, and just butchered a hole, you know, and yet was able to even pull even at one point on Sunday before a three putt and some other miscues, you know. So, but that's one thing that it seems like the pressure doesn't faze young Morikawa. So it's gonna be fun to watch him in the future. I think he's a very likable guy, and I think it's gonna be the Ryder Cup this year is gonna be a lot of fun too because we're gonna have a lot of rookie players on our team, a lot of young guys, and that'll be kind of like
the changing of the guard, you know, with the younger players coming in.
It really is.
You got time to stick with us? I need a clear break, and then we'll finish it up.
Yeah. Let me. I'm just pulling up. Let me get out the truck, get in the house, and because man, the weather. I started off in shorts today, and then all of a sudden, you know. It's like, what happened?
I had to go back home to get a jacket. It got so cold and windy, you know.
Like, I thought we had to turn that little spring corner there. But, that wind some kind of make it interesting. I guess I couldn't play anyway for the Pro-Am this week. But, boy, I sure wish wouldn't mind seeing it delay it another week.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I don't know that they'll do that. But we'll have to wait and see. So I'm going to clear a break, and then we'll be back on the other side. All right.
Okay. All right.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
We have a new player on the field and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Kane 107.5.
Right.
And welcome back to Chip Shots with Teddy Simon right here in the studios, and my friend and colleague Ralph Boxcar Bergeron on the telephone in his vehicle, wherever he may be. Hello there, but welcome back again.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, I'm hoping next week to be back in the studio if everything works out. It's crazy schedules here lately.
Has been working out all right. You know, I mean,
yeah,
the people can't tell whether you're in or out.
I know.
So, what's up? You want to talk about PGA Puerto Rico, the opposite field event they had?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. You know, it's always one of those things where, you know, it almost like lessens the victory just a little bit because it is an opposite field event, and yet Brandon Grace, you know, not that long ago was really a top 10, you know, player in the world, and falling off a little bit. But obviously with the suffering she's been through lately, and you know, losing his dad recently to COVID, you know, very emotional victory for the 32-year-old South African.
Right. Then finishing second was Johnny Vegas. Another player that had big promise, you know, as a youngster coming up and kind of leveled out. Good to see him back in contention there. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, there's so many guys that, you know, you get excited about. And, you know, you kind of think, well, maybe that, you know, that guy's going to be, I'd say, that, again, not the next big thing, but, a consistent winner on tour. And. And a lot of them just seem to hit some slumps, you know, after a couple of, I don't know if they get complacent, you know, after they get a pretty good bank account, or just the grind on the tour, is that real, you know? And I think it's probably more the latter, that we just don't realize how much it takes to, we think it's all fun and playing golf for a, you know.
And getting back to Tiger and players like we mentioned, Ben Hogan and Jack Nicklaus, the game at that point, once their swing is defined and they know how to hit the golf ball, it's so mental. And that's the part of the discipline and the drive in those players that the other good players, you know, the other great players don't have, you know. And I'm talking about a lot of the great players, you know, Rory McIlroy, you know, Koepka, all of them just keep going on. They don't have that internal fortitude that those other players had to win all of those championships.
Well, they said, you know, one of the most indelible marks that Tiger left on the, or has left on the PGA Tour, is when you used to drive up to a tour event, you would never see signs pointing toward the fitness trailer, you know, and now it's as much of a mainstay as any tour event as it is, you know, so he revolutionized the fitness.
Since you mentioned that, I got a parallel story with Ben Hogan. In his day, professional golfers, and golf wasn't like it is today, but professional golfers would finish their round of golf and they'd go inside the 19th hole, drink some beer or whatever, and play gin rummy or cards. Ben Hogan went to the practice range and all of a sudden, beating the heck out of everybody else started going to the practice range.
Yeah, and so not say anyway near that, but certainly in the modern era, you know, Vijay Singh was kind of that same way. He would just relentlessly, you know, hit balls after a round where, you know, those are the caddies for those guys that earn their money. They're out there, you know, for instead of 5 hours a day, they're out there for 15 hours a day with their guys, you know. So, but yeah, different strokes for different folks. I mean, some people just have that natural, you know, the natural talent. But again, at some point, it does, I guess, catch up with you. And if you don't have that drive and that, like you said, that you know, that desire, you know, and you mentioned Brooks Koepka is probably a perfect example. I have no doubt that if Brooks Koepka, and again, I know he dealt with some injuries, but if he really wanted to be a day in day out world class golfer, he probably could.
I agree.
He focuses his attention on the majors, and that's kind of it. And I think to a lesser degree, I think it's changed a little bit in recent years. But I'm going to tell you, there has not been a more talented guy on the PGA Tour maybe even in the Tiger era than Dustin Johnson. I mean, the guy physically had every tool you'd ever want, you know, in a golf swing. He has the ability to not, to never hit it. He knows where the golf ball is going. You know, strong, long, but mentally, you know, I just never, I just didn't see the desire, you know.
Right. He's 80% talent and 20% desire, where those other guys are 80% talent and 80% desire. You know what I'm saying? It's not even comparable. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, even Rory could have achieved so much more. And I'm not demeaning them that, because you got life besides golf, you know. But Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Ben Hogan devoted their entire life to winning golf tournaments. And that's it.
And I thought, you know, that's what surprised me about Rory, is that I did think of all the modern ones. I remember reading a Golf Digest story on him when he was a young lad, and you know, he was like 5 years old, and he's playing with some other people, and he made some comment. I don't remember it verbatim right now, but it just astounded the older golfers about, you know, that it's like, okay, this kid is going to want to be that next great golfer. And I thought, you know, coming off the tour, he would. And I just can't help but think, and at some point, and I mean, I know he had a couple of celebrity relationships that failed and all that stuff, but I still think he got scarred by that Masters loss, on that back nine, on that, you know, that was just so horrendous. And somehow, you know, he just never quite got it back. I mean, he, you know, and that can happen, you know, that can happen.
Sure. Yep, sir. All right. Let's go to the LPGA tour, if you don't mind. Interesting there. I know you've, did a little research on that. Nellie Carter won the tournament at Lake Nona in Orlando, and that gives the Carter sisters the first two victories of the year, as her sister Jessica, older sister, won the opener, the Tournament of Champions. So, and then a sideline to that tournament was Annika at 50 years old teeing it up, and, you know, she's been away for 12 years. She just made the cut, and there was a big ruling. I don't know if you knew about that, the ruling.
Yeah. Well, and so here, and I want to ask you that. As a golf professional, don't you think it's ludicrous, and this is just my opinion, but a guy can go out and have a rules infraction, finish his round, sign his scorecard. Next thing you know, they're reviewing the stuff in the tent, whatever. They end up either penalizing him, DQing him, whatever the case might be. But, in, you know, conversely, if they realized they made a mistake after the fact, why couldn't they have gone back and taken a stroke off of, because, you know, they made a faulty ruling about the gate, not being able to open the gate? You know, I mean, I just don't quite get.
They could have. They really could have, you know. Because look, what they did with Tiger, they gave him a penalty the day after at the Masters several years ago, whatever it was, when he misdropped that ball, you know. So if they can give you a penalty, if they can give you a penalty the next day, why can't they add back in an error? I don't see why they couldn't have done that.
That's what I'm saying, too. You know, unless you're assuming that she might have made the same score even if the gate had been open. But, I mean, you know, the fact is they messed up. And, I mean, I publicly admitted it, you know, and he said, man, I lost sleep over it. I could, you know. I mean, so at the very least, she should have gotten back the one-stroke penalty, you know, for the immovable, whatever. Well, you know, I'm not sure what section or what ruling that was, but obviously it's kind of a, you know, again, it's not a black eye, but I mean, it goes, what if that had happened in a major, you know? That's the thing, you know. But hey, you know, kudos to Annika for coming out, teeing it up, and it was very exciting for the fans. Well, not the fans. Well, fans, not fans of tennis necessarily.
Right.
But again, just anytime you see someone, you know, that statue come back, and one of the few people I can remember in recent years that really retired at the top of her sport. I mean, she was definitely that you talk about priorities. You know, she knew she wanted to have a family, and that was important to her. And on the LPGA Tour, there comes a point in time when you have to make that decision. You know, you only have a certain number of years you can have kids, and once you start having them, you're not going to play the same. You know,
No, not at all.
So they have to kind of decide that sometimes, and she definitely went out on top and was always a great champion, a very well-spoken, graceful.
And she was one that wore red the last day in honor of Tiger. So, you know, that speaks well when a Hall of Fame golfer wears something, you know, that depicts sympathy for another player. That speaks volumes to me.
Even Tiger's, I'm not going to call it an arch rival, but, you know, because, you know, it's hard
Phil,
to call
yeah.
the, yeah, it's hard to call the ball the bat's arch rival. But anyway, but for Phil to go out and spend his own money on a red shirt, because he didn't you know, and that again spoke volumes.
You know, Colin Morikawa was upset because his sponsored company didn't get his red shirt on time to him for the weather delay or whatever, you know, weather reasons.
Yeah, they should have allowed him to break his contract.
Exactly. That's my contention.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, I get it. These guys outfit.
Sure, absolutely.
You know,
all right,
but,
Boxcar, wrap it up for us.
No, well, just, you know, I heard some of the stuff you mentioned about, you know, people having or courses having 6 inches of ice and all. So I guess in retrospect, we were, you know, a little more fortunate. I know a lot of the guys around here suffered, you know, economically with the courses being closed for that period of time. So hopefully we can get past another little stretch of, you know, inclement weather. And when you do get a chance, you know, go out there, support your local golf courses. And let's hope that spring's right around the corner and we can kind of have a little more sense of normalcy and we'll see everybody out there on the golf course.
I appreciate it. Hope to see you down the road somewhere soon. All right, Louisiana Network News is up next.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298 CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tash.